Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line today. There is a push from some Republicans in the Missouri legislature to eventually eliminate the state income tax. And one of those people who is in favor of the measure or those proposals is Representative Bishop Davidson, Republican from District 130, that is in Greene County. And the representative is with us now on KMOX. We appreciate your time today. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Really appreciate you having me on.
So first, we know that this week is really when the ball started to get rolling on it. I know that some proposals were heard. What exactly do you and other Republicans in the state house want to do?
Yeah, I mean, the end-all be-all here is to put more money back in Missourians' pockets, and that's through the elimination of the income tax. So the method is still being sorted out. We're really excited for the state of the state from the governor on Tuesday, of course. There's a lot of good energy and optimism in the building. I'm actually in the building right now. I'm walking around the House floor. It's one of the loudest places at sometimes, and then it's also one of the quietest places. I've got some work up here, and I thought I'd come in here to hop on. But we're trying to eliminate the income tax. We're trying to put money back in Missourians' pockets, and we're trying to give them, their children, their posterity, the best shot at a stronger economy in the ways that we've seen some of the other states that have no income taxes.
Just as a matter of process, Governor Kehoe had said he hoped to reduce the income tax and eventually eliminate it. What does the time frame and reduction process look like?
Yeah, that's a very smart question. And it's also one of the key questions. I think we're looking at a lot of different time frames. It's not something I think I can commit to at this point in time. We're looking at plans that move very quickly. And we're also looking at plans that take, take a decade or two to really phase it out over time in a slow, deliberate fashion.
So, I mean, which direction would you do you think that ultimately the state would go if this were to actually pass? Would it be a slower reduction, or would it take some time?
It's going to be determined by kind of the team as a whole. And that team is not only the governor's office, but the House and the Senate. I think if we could move quickly, we all would like to move quickly. It's just that we want to be sure we're doing it responsibly. I think that's probably the priority, is making sure that we do it in a way that doesn't negatively impact Missourians, doesn't negatively impact the services that we already provide for them. And so we want to do it responsibly first and then quickly second.
Yeah, with the responsible process, I guess you do look at the billions of dollars that the income tax does bring in for the state of Missouri. And so If you eliminate that, how do you pay for all of these services that Missourians need and are used to having?
No, yeah, that's a great question. So at the end of the day, there's going to be three big pieces to the puzzle and in ways in which you can eliminate the income tax. You can first utilize your growth. The bill that is currently filed that I'm carrying follows this mechanism. And what I mean by that is our economy is constantly growing. They have dip years every now and again, but all in all, it trends upwards, and it trends upwards exponentially. And that means our revenues actually have been growing and growing exponentially, and we've seen that. What doesn't need to grow exponentially, but what has maybe grown too quickly, has been our government spending. And I think government inefficiency has increased with that. If we could instead grow our government and our spending at more of a linear rate, where we just keep a good, steady growth, we could capture the excess that comes from that growing economy. And let's be clear, that growing economy is because Missourians are being creative with their time, right? They're innovating at their work. They're asking for that raise, whatever it might be. They're inventing a new product. we want to capture that growth and that excess that comes from that growth. And instead of just funneling it into more bureaucracies that aren't actually serving the people, we want to get it back into Missourians' pockets by reducing and eliminating the income tax. And so that's the one way, right, is through growth. You can also seek out efficiencies within your budget process, within your spending. I look around the country and I see different states. One little fact that's always interesting to me is that New York, with 19 million people, New York State, has a budget of $237 billion or something like that. And Florida, with 22 million people, has a budget of $115 million. I mean, literally half the size in terms of budget, even though they have 3 million more people. And they rank higher on a lot of the services that they provide. And what this tells me is that there are lots of efficiencies to be found. And I think that that Missouri isn't excused from finding those efficiencies. The third way that you can do it is by replacing that revenue elsewhere. You know, I'm trying to think through how you could replace it. There's lots of different mechanisms and places you go. I know we're looking at a VLT or video lottery terminals bill in a committee that I'm in next week, and that's set to generate X number of revenue for schools and things of that sort. So it's one of these three paths: growth, efficiencies, and then replacement revenue. And it could also be a combination of those things. And so we have to decide as a legislature which path we want to go down and to what extent we want to combine those things. And that's going to be the way in which we do this responsibly. That's going to be the way in which we're able to provide all the services that we provide to Missourians while also getting more money in their pockets. But the big picture, and I'm sorry, I hope I didn't get too much in the weeds, the big picture is that because of economic activity and economic growth, which has produced more productivity per capita over the last 200 years, and we can see that because we get more done with 40-hour work weeks than we got done with 80-hour work weeks, right? We can see that growth and that wealth growth with the fact that so many of us have TVs or air conditions in our homes or more square footage per person in our homes or whatever the case might be. But because of that economic growth and that activity, because of efficiency, we can expect more from our government with less proportionately of our money over time. And it does take time, but that's sort of one of the guiding principles here.
Missouri representative.
Sorry, I was talking a lot.
That's okay. It's less time we had to talk. So, Missouri Representative Bishop Davidson is with us here on KMOX, and there are opponents of this who will mm-hmm. argue that everything you're saying, they don't feel like there is a good plan or would be a good plan to offset some of the loss of that tax revenue. So you would say that that's just not true, that you would absolutely and you can unequivocally say that you will be able to make that up without, you know, taking away from services that people need or schools or whatever it may be.
It would be one thing if we said, hey, we're cutting the rate and that's just that, right? We're not utilizing our growth. We're not utilizing replacement revenue. Yeah, okay, that would be pretty scary. That'd be a bit of a dangerous situation. No one is talking about that at all in the Capitol. No one's talking about that in the executive branch or the legislative branch. The mechanisms we use in the bill that we have today doesn't actually reduce the rate until you have two important triggers met, and that's that there's a surplus, first of all, so that you can know there is growth going on in the state. And then secondly, there has to be an excess revenue fund. There has to be a reserve fund. And that reserve fund is to actually backfill your budget if you encounter shortfalls in the future after that cut takes place. And so safety net upon safety net is going to ensure that we're not going to see a significant dip in revenues, which means we're not going to see a significant dip in services. And so if I were coming in here and saying, hey, we need to just cut all this tomorrow, and I had no plan for utilizing growth or revenue replacement, then I'd be pretty critical of me too. But that is not what we're looking at.
When I look at other states that have eliminated income tax or don't have income tax, like Florida, right, which has a massive tourism industry, or Tennessee, yeah, which has Nashville and is growing, or Alaska, which has oil, or New Hampshire, which is small. I don't necessarily slot Missouri into those groups, and I want to be positive about growth. Being in St. Louis and St. Louis County, where we're kind of not growing, and we're losing population. I want to be positive, but I feel worried about the emphasis placed on growth.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate the worry. I really do. I mean, I'm going to all sorts of folks that I don't always agree with, and I'm saying I want your caution here in this conversation. I want it at the table. What I would tell you is a couple things. First of all, there's other states to look at. South Dakota is a great one to look at, but second of all, every single state, 48 states, are now losing income to Florida. It's migrating to Florida, and they're net losing to Florida, including Missouri. There's one state that is not. It's net gaining. It's taking more Floridians and more of their income than Florida is taking from them, and that's Tennessee. You talked about Tennessee having Nashville. When I look at Tennessee and I look at Missouri, you've got to rewind decades and ask what was Tennessee, and you've got to ask what made it into what it is. Missouri, I find, has more raw materials in terms of what it means to be a great state than Tennessee does. We too have some great metropolitan areas. We have actually a bigger, more comprehensive river system, incredibly influential across the country, right? We have a more robust agricultural sector, but we also have southern Missouri and southeast Missouri with all sorts of rolling hills and, you know, sort of geographical, I think, attractions. We've got Branson with its own sort of music industry that exists. And we've got a better placement in terms of infrastructure and being the intersection for the rest of the country. There is a lot of really strong raw materials here in Missouri. The thing that has held us back has been, I think, many, but one of those things has been our income tax rates. And if you would have put Missouri in the position of Tennessee, you know, 100 years ago when Missouri introduced its income tax, or 50 years ago when it had increased it pretty significantly, I think that you would actually see, the same sort of excitement, economic activity, growth that you see in Tennessee and Missouri today.
Is it really that much of a burden on people? Because, I mean, it depends on where you look and what numbers you look at. But Missouri ranks, you know, it's in the bottom half of tax burden for the people who live here. So is it really that much of a deterrent to getting, attracting people and keeping people?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think you got to look at it, and think through what does it look like in a person's personal life. And we've done some of the numbers, and it's thousands of dollars difference. And that means a lot to a median household family here in Missouri. But you also have to look at it from a larger economic scale. It's about the types of jobs that are being brought in, and it's about the type of investment that's being made into your state. And so there's these direct benefits for Missourians, which revolves around their pocketbook. But then there's these indirect benefits, too, which revolves more around the type of society that's being created around them, the type of economic activity that's being conducted around them. And if we look at the states that are without income taxes, they are outperforming the states with income taxes significantly, hand over fist in all sorts of metrics, whether it be population or economic activity or education, in public services, they're outperforming. I mean, it really is across the board and ubiquitous. And so it's a good point. It's not just about the dollars that go back into their pockets. It's about what it does writ large on the whole. And when you tax productivity, you get less productivity. And so we're wanting to move away from that.
Representative Bishop Davidson out of District 130, we really do appreciate the conversation today and hope we can talk again. We love the conversation.
I'd love to, and there's going to be a lot of updates, obviously, between now and May. So
sounds good. Thank you. We appreciate it. That is Representative Bishop Davidson with us. It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Ron, I just got a really interesting push notification from Uber.
Oh, is your ride almost here?
Yes, my ride is almost
here. Time to go.
Do you get a lot of Uber push notifications? I need to turn it off because I get it. First of all, and this is a whole other conversation, I've never had anything delivered. I've never used Uber Eats.
Interesting.
I've never used, what's the other one called? Grubhub. But I've also...
DoorDash.
I've never had pizza delivered. I've never Chinese takeout delivered. Right. I've never had anything delivered. But I get these...
Is this segment about what a weirdo you are?
No, but we can do that as well. But I got this push notification just now from Uber, which sometimes they'll have discounts on Uber Eats or on your rides. But the headline on the push was, teen failed their driver's test. We offer teen Uber rides. So here's what they say. They don't need a license to get a ride. With Uber teen accounts, if your teen fails their driver's test, we'll give them a month of free rides, maximum 6 rides, $20 per ride max. To get started, provide a few details on your teen's failed test. If your teen doesn't have an Uber teen account yet, you'll be prompted to add your teen to receive this promotion. How do you feel about that? They said they can take them to sports or school or a friend's house. Again, obviously, it's not for school every day because you get 6 a month with the top ride being $20. But it's interesting that you provide information on the failed test so that they know people aren't screwing them over. I also don't know that I would... I'm trying to process it.
It's just a company taking advantage of, I think, the reality that fewer Gen Z people and those who are turning 16 are getting their driver's licenses than they used to. We talked about that story several months ago. We talked about it, and it is the Department of Transportation saying that between 1983 and 2022, the number of 16-year-olds with licenses declined about half to a quarter. At the same time, 18-year-olds with their licenses dropped from 80% to 60%. Gen Z, so people born between 97 and 2012, are either entirely opting out of getting them or they're delaying the process. And in the last 25 years, the number of 16-year-olds with a driver's license has gone down 27%.
Well, I get that, but this is not, they are not addressing those kids. This is, you have to provide a failed test. You have to give that, these kids who aren't getting their licenses.
Well, I think that is the same. It's people who don't have their licenses for whatever reason.
But
failed
the
test, didn't
the
take
numbers,
the test.
The numbers, I read when we did that article, and we either talked to someone or just talked about the article and the numbers. A lot of it was, as you mentioned, delaying the process because they're not interested in getting their driver's licenses. This is not a huge influx of Gen Zers trying to get their licenses and failing. That's not what's driving those numbers down. It's a lack of motivation to get their license because none of the interviews were about failed tests.
But I still,
all of them were about delaying the process or not wanting
it. I still think this is all related because one of the reasons people aren't is because they are using Uber and Lyft to do everything. They're getting rides as opposed to driving themselves and buying a car. That's the way they prefer to do it. I personally... And I'm well out of that demographic. I can't imagine myself preferring getting rides to driving my own car.
No, I can't either. And again, this is, I just want to be clear. This is if you have to provide documentation that your kid failed the test and then you get rides for that month. You get 6 rides over the course of a month. I think it's just to expose people to Uber. I will say, having been around, a lot of teenagers, in my life and family over the past couple of years, I don't know any of them who have Ubered. And even if the ones that don't have licenses, they all have friends who do. I have yet to find...
Interesting.
I've yet to talk to any teens who have used Uber because they either have their licenses themselves or... they go to school. They've got a gazillion friends who have licenses.
I can't personally imagine not wanting to do it. I the only messages I get or the push notifications I get are from Lyft. And it happens when I go to schedule a ride and then I don't know, get sidetracked or something, or I go to check Uber and see if the price is better, which is a tip. You should always do it. Sometimes Uber is cheaper. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Lyft is cheaper. Don't have a reason. Just check for yourself. And if it's almost like they know, the app knows that I have left their app and gone to a different one. And then I get a notification that says, hey, you can get 10% off your ride if you book right now and you have 10 minutes to do it.
Hmm.
Little tip for you. Try that.
If you guys, anyone listening has a child who delayed the process, or really regarding this Uber notification, would you tell your teen who just failed their test, would you say, yeah, go use an Uber? Would you feel comfortable? Do you feel weird about sending maybe your 16-year-old daughter on an Uber? 314-436-7900.
Chris and Amy on KMOX. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. We have the Dave Glover Show coming up at 1 o'clock. You're going to stick around and listen to that, I guarantee you. We're going to be on that show. We start at 1 with them for like an hour, and then they say, all right, go on, get... And then we have to leave.
There you go.
Which I don't think is very nice, but...
Well...
That's kind of exactly what they tell us. I think when the show's over, Dave says, all right, go ahead. You can leave now.
Yeah. Which is the opposite of what we tell Hancock and Kelly, which is, please
They can
stay.
Stick around all they
we
want.
We would love for you to stay forever and ever.
I love it when they are here.
So, I feel like this is a topic that is cathartic for people to talk about, especially on the air. And that would be... grammatical errors that, quote, grind your gears.
Oh, boy. There are a lot of them.
There are. We were talking about this. I don't even know how it came up. Probably we were assaulted by one of the grammatical errors. One of us was. And we started talking about mistakes that you see either posted on social media. Because you have to admit, Facebook is not a shining beacon of grammatical integrity.
No.
Yeah. So you see them a lot there.
Well, really, any social media platform isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, yeah, just in daily conversation. So if you do have, if you're listening and you just need to get something off your chest, which I feel like we do offer this service a lot, feel free to call or text us 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. I can tell you one that I've seen multiple times on Facebook that really bothers me. This is when people say must of
or oh my God.
Should of.
Instead of must have.
Should have and must have. I should of gone there. It's I should have. And let's say you really, truly didn't know. Now you know. It's a PSA. But I do struggle with the could of played baseball instead of could have played baseball.
That one bothers me like you would not believe.
It upsets me more than it should.
We are eliminating from this the theirs, T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-Y. We're taking them out because that's the one that you should know. And if you don't know that one, you should actually have your phone taken away from you.
But it still does bother me.
Oh, of course, it's the obvious one.
That's why, too, if you are doing voice to text, which happens to be the worst, I don't know how we can talk about artificial intelligence when we're still trying to get voice to text to be somewhat competent. But I think if you say there in a full sentence, usually voice to text can kind of pick up which there you need. But if you speak too slowly, it's going to mess it up.
Mine that I cannot stand is when people say supposedly instead of supposedly.
I don't think I've heard supposedly.
You haven't?
I don't think so.
What?
I know.
I'll tell you what.
That's so bad.
I don't know how
it's
you haven't heard
so
that.
So bad.
Supposedly is it makes my skin crawl. And there was a podcast that I was listening to years ago. It's called Up and Vanished. And it was about a woman who went missing and, you know, true crime kind of thing. And the podcast itself was entertaining. But the host at one point said supposedly, and that's all I think about. I've listened to dozens of those episodes. I've heard this guy do other podcasts before. And every time I hear him, all I think of is you said supposedly.
And you should
have your podcast taken away from
That's
you.
That's the problem. You can be a genius.
That's all I think about.
You can be a rocket scientist. And if you can't communicate, if you commit basic grammatical errors, it's hard to take you seriously. And that is frustrating, is intensely frustrating. And let's another one that I've read a lot is a lot. The a lot versus a L-O-T, lot.
Two words versus one word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same with a part. So glad to be a part of this organization, and it's one word, A-P-A-R-T.
Yes.
It's a space part.
But it is confusing. It's confusing the way we've done it in English, because a part means
one word.
Separate.
Oh, two
but
words.
A part, two words, means together. It means you are part of something.
Yes. Unless it's one word, at which point you're not.
This one is, and yet we have a text message.
Yes.
We have a text message from a 314 that says the inappropriate use of the word seen, as in I seen it happen yesterday. I have a buddy who does it routinely, and it's awful. And every time he does it, I call him out. And it's become a joke where he will now do it on purpose because he knows it bothers me. But I seen it happen. I have seen.
So it's the past versus the past participle. Yes. Another example of that same one, because you're right. I seen versus I have seen is I haven't ate that before.
Yes.
It's not I haven't ate that before. It's I have not eaten. Eaten is the past participle of eat.
This segment sounds awful.
We sound so judgy.
But we're not wrong.
I'm offended.
Who do these two people think they are?
Right. Who do they think they're talking to?
Yeah.
What do you think of the listener? And honestly, as we are several minutes into this segment, I am offended and appalled by the audacity with which we are just correcting everyone's grammar.
I hate us.
I do too.
Yeah.
I actually hate us right now, and I'm so sorry. The more listeners who join in, the less I will hate myself.
Well,
because I'll feel like other people want to join in.
This person from a 636 says, one that bothers me is misusing bring or take.
Oh, like, do people do that?
Take it with you or bring it with you.
Got it.
And here's one. This is so niche. I guess it's not that niche, but it kind of is. From a 217, mine is when people don't know the word voila. They say, I can't tell you the number of voila and even viola I see. No one is forcing you to use a French word if you don't know how to spell it. There are plenty of synonyms out there.
And
that
Viola.
Is so niche.
I walked in and Viola.
Voila bothers me a lot. When people say, oh, voila.
I've never even heard voila.
Where have you been?
I don't know.
Dude, live in the real world for a minute. People say it all the time.
In my little NPR circle, voila.
Yeah.
It's very divisive.
I have not heard this one, but an 812 area code says using the word ideal instead of the word idea. For instance, I have no ideal. I've never heard anybody do that one.
I would vomit. I'd just throw up.
This is me speaking, and I've got it on the list here.
Oh.
This is a thing that is like a last 5 years thing for me.
Okay.
People misspelling whoa.
Okay, how do you think it should be spelled?
It's W-H-O-A. It's always been W-H-O-A.
Versus,
and now suddenly the H is at the end?
W-O-A-H.
Yeah, where did that come from? When did that start?
It's a great point, because I have always spelled it W-H-O-A. However, I haven't been offended by the W-O-A-H. I know I've seen it before, so
it's never been that before. How is suddenly?
I need to find some books and look for a whoa, and voila.
Voila. No. It's voila. Here's one, and this is a great one. Thank you. From a 636. When people use, or really when they spell the word prolly, instead of probably?
No.
Like, I'm probably coming over today?
No, they don't do that. Tell me.
Are you kidding me?
I've seen it, but they're doing it on purpose as a joke?
No. People, I think that's the word.
Probably.
I got a friend who does this all the time.
Really?
And I love him to death.
But.
And he's so nice that I can't call him out on it. But I want to call him out on it. Because probably is not a word, and it looks really dumb when you write it out like that.
No, I do not like probably.
I can't believe you've never heard that before.
Well, I've seen it, but I think I thought it was a joke.
Here's one that a 618 does not like.
Okay.
How about when people say use, as in thank yous? I don't...
You's gotta be kidding me.
Can I tell you something? I don't have a problem with that one. I have no problem with that one. Because that's how Tony Soprano would have said it. And I am not... Well, he's dead,
yeah.
But I am not going to...
Use people need to get it together.
Hey, one of the great movies of the last 30 years is A Bronx Tale. And there's the scene with the biker gang who comes in to terrorize the bar. And he tells them they need to leave, and they refuse to leave. And then he goes up to the door, and he locks the door and says, now yous can't leave. Which is such a great... And it,
now yous can't leave.
Dude, it's such a great... Chaz Palminteri, it is such a great scene.
Nice.
Oh, my God. Go watch that movie if you haven't seen it. But I will never... You can use all you want.
I feel like the police chief with his New York accent, if he said use, game over. Crime
chief
is down.
Chief Tracy?
Yeah. If Chief Tracy said, use, don't see it.
It's
use, don't believe me. Whatever he... If he were to use... Honestly, I think crime already went down with his accent, but if he used it, I would believe him. I'd just take everything seriously.
Here's a text from a 618. Yeah. I had a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend to be exact, who in a work meeting told everyone she wanted to, quote, get her ducks in a boat. I wanted to melt and slide between the cushions of the chair in shame. Get her ducks in a boat?
Like a duck boat.
That's so ridiculous. All right, let's get a call. Jim is with us from Belleville. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. I was, my wife and I, actually my wife is a real stickler on proper English, and I try to be as much as I can. And I was just going to bring up the point that you just brought up was, the AU's guys. But the other thing is we've noticed for quite a couple years now that even listening or watching the 10 o'clock news that, boy, there's some words there that shouldn't be used. And I'm, those are professional people.
You have an example of one?
Like, for instance, I asked you a question, instead of ask, axing.
That one's become pretty common. It's a cultural thing, too.
Here's one on...
appreciate the call, Jim.
I've seen it on social media, and I know people who use it, and it didn't bother me for a long time until the seeming proliferation of the phrase... These ones. Now, and pens, these ones are my favorite.
That was a thing that I feel...
What is these ones? And it's always...
A lot of grade school kids. A lot of kids said that in grade
school. I thought it was little school. Kids. Well, no one ever corrected them because all of these 24-year-old influencers... All right, here's my Lulu top and here's the Amazon one. And these ones are better. No, go back to school. Like, I get that you have a million followers. You're probably doing fine for yourself. But the number of... influencers saying these ones are the best.
From a 618, people say especially instead of especially with an X in it. Especially.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Or espresso.
That's off-putting.
Espresso is really bad.
That's just not incorrect. It's off-putting.
If you order an espresso, they should throw the espresso in your face after you order it.
Hey, here is a real quick PSA, because I know this one can be difficult. People misuse less and fewer.
Think of it this way.
Less is when you can't count it. Fewer is when you can. We used less sugar and fewer raisins.
We used less
water, fewer chocolate chips. Easy to remember.
I'm with you. We got a few people who want to chime in.
Okay.
314-436-7900. The We'll Correct Your Grammar show.
We hate ourselves.
Next, coming back in a moment on KMOX.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Okay, you see me after class.
Amy and I are over here judging people for using bad grammar.
It's so offensive. I do not. That's why. Okay. Every time you guys call or text in, it makes us feel better because it makes us feel like we're not the only horrible people out there.
That's right. Or maybe these
you guys
texters
are horrible too.
All right. You can call us 314-436-7900. Got a couple of minutes to go. Kevin in St. Louis, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I got a couple good ones here on grammar-wise. I hear this pretty common, but I'm not sure if you guys, you know, use or what, but it sounds kind of funny. But like, for example, I've taken the class when it goes like I've taken the class.
Oh, God.
Oh, or, yeah, taken.
Or let's say like, for example, like, you know, you've eaten it when it's called I have eaten it, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, it's like nobody's perfect here, but sometimes you just hear these funny expressions, you know, that people just say and just come up with.
We have to come up with something, and thank you, Kevin. We have to come up with the thing that you are allowed to do or say to somebody when they misuse a word. But it's like we need to find something that's borderline polite but also direct. How do we do that?
So it's
because you can't slap somebody.
Well, right. It's got to be instructive.
It has to be instructive.
Yeah.
How about Joe and Ledoux? What's up, Joe?
Hey, thank you for this topic. It drives me crazy, a lot of things. But one of the things that drives me nuts about KMOX, you're on Matt Pauly.
Hey, we're not singling anybody out here.
No.
Let's just
when Cardinals broadcaster Ricky Horton, not Horton, when he first got on the air, he was doing live ads for someplace, pets shelter or something, and they had puppies and kittens.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Joe.
Take it up with Matt.
Yeah, no, do not take it up with him. He's not going to like that.
No, take it up with Matt.
Thank you, Joe.
We appreciate it.
Christy is with us.
I mess up all the time.
Christy, what's going on?
Hey, so I'm in trouble all the time because I correct my loved one's grammar. And these aren't people that are barely made it through grammar school. These are people with, you know, perhaps PhDs. And they say things like, where are you at? You'd never end a sentence with a preposition. It's where are you, not where are you at? And the other thing they do is, and how do these people get through the fifth grade? I don't know. But they say, me and my dad.
Yeah.
No. It's my dad and I.
That's right.
So if you take the dad out of it, do you say me went somewhere? No. I went somewhere.
It's Christy's right, but it can be my dad and me, depending on if you're the subject or the object.
Right. It's a subjective versus objective. Yeah, you should. But it does. I've heard that from professionals before, and it drives me nuts. It's driving me nuts.
Yar.
Like, Ronge and me will be going to Ballpark Village.
Ronge and I will
be. Ronge and I, yes.
Here's one. This is from me. Okay. This is me telling you.
Yes.
I got a friend, and I saw it once in an email, and I almost
threw up.
Well, I almost killed him.
Oh, no.
He was saying, are you coming to it? Was like, are you coming to our place?
Yeah. Oh, our?
No. Oh. Instead of our, he wrote R.
Yes.
Are you coming to our place? A-R-E.
It's
no.
R versus our.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, yeah, that's frustrating.
Did you get the sense from Christy that she just really needed to get something off her chest and she felt like this was the place to do it?
Well, we are the place.
That was
the purpose.
We're here for you.
Christy gets it.
Christy does get it.
She gets it. Thank you for calling.
Everybody who's on hold, we're sorry we can't get to you, but our show's over.
Maybe we'll
A-R-E,
do it again.
Our show is over.
our. Oh, you are.
We want you to have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
You can have an okay weekend.
You can have a fine weekend. Probably. Come back to us on Monday. We are going to be with you again at 10 o'clock. And anything you missed is on the Odyssey app. Download it. Put it on your phone. We love you very much. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your AFC, NFC championship weekend. Back on Monday at 10. Yes, Amy?
Bye.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
I'm not petty. I don't think... I don't think I need to be petty.